You see, that's exactly what we want to demonstrate. Sometimes it's hard to understand what things are being said to you, isn't it? Sometimes things are being said and you can't hear clearly. You can't make out the words. Malchus was hearing some things that night. Malchus heard some things. And we're going to talk about whose voice it was that Malcolm was hearing. Or Malchus. Malchus. You name Malchus? Okay, how you feeling there? Is that still doing okay? You need a Band-Aid? Okay. You guys be sure and check out his ear after church, okay? It's really cool. So we're going to talk about whose voice Malchus heard. How many have played the Jumble game in the newspaper? Remember the Jumble game? Anybody played Jumble? Okay. We've got a Jumble game. That's where you have to figure out words, and there's a secret letter in each word, and you got to put the secret letters together to make a final word, a final solution. So on your inserts, kids, in your activity sheets, you have a Jumble game, all right? Way it's going to work. See, when Jesus spoke, Malchus heard the voice of someone. I don't want you to guess yet. I don't want you to guess yet, all right? Over the next few minutes, I'm going to talk about some of the words that Malchus heard, and I'm going to show you a few slides with a fill-in-the-blank word. And in the fill-in-the-blank word, there's going to be one secret letter that you'll see, obviously. And you've got to put that secret letter in the blank spot. So, kids, how many of you got the activity sheets with the Jumble puzzle on it? Okay, everybody got one of those? Okay. You don't want one? Tell you what, if you finish it, I'll give you a pack of gum. I got some gum for first through sixth graders who fill this thing out, okay? This is where we get you to listen to sermons. Okay? So, what did Malchus hear? First, Malchus heard three things. The first thing he heard was a question. That question was something like, what are you here to get? And look, there's our first letter. There's our first letter. What letter is it? G. Put the G in that first little red circle down there. That's our first letter. Malcolm heard a question. What are you here to get? All right? It's like, what are you guys seeking? Who are you seeking? Why are you here? Now, Jesus didn't ask that because he didn't know. He asked it because he wanted them to think about the question. He wanted them to think about why they were there. You see, people came to Jesus for a lot of different reasons, didn't they? Some people, like the people in the garden, they came to Jesus because they hated him. They came to Jesus because they wanted to hurt him. They wanted to get rid of him. Other people came to Jesus because they wanted something from him. Some came to him because they wanted a healing. Some people wanted a free lunch. Some people wanted Jesus to kind of be a perpetual food server for them. Some people wanted an opportunity. His disciples, they thought Jesus was going to be this mover and shaker, and they were getting in on the ground floor, something big, and they wanted a job. But people came to Jesus for different reasons. Have you guys ever had the experience of having somebody come to you and be nice to you just because they want something? You ever had that? There was a prank video I saw on YouTube not too long ago. It was hilarious. This guy dressed up purposely very nerdy. He just looked very nerdy. And the prank was he approached a very attractive girl on the street, struck up a conversation with her, and then asked for her phone number. All right? And she predictably turned him down. Well, he had arranged to have somebody then drive up in a beautiful $200,000 Lamborghini and tell him his car was ready. So he climbs in the car, and he wanted to see the girl's response. And invariably, the girl who wouldn't give him his phone number suddenly was very willing to give him her phone number. It's like suddenly her opinion of him changed because she wanted a ride in that nice car. Some people do that. They come to you because they want something. Sometimes people come to you because they want to be mean to you. Some people are bullies, and they just seek you out because they want to pick on you. What are you here to get? Jesus asked. What are you guys here to get? That was the first thing Malchus heard. The second thing Malchus heard was he heard a command. That command was to Peter, put down your sword. Put down your sword. What's our second letter? O. That's right. Second letter, O. Put down your sword. Peter, that's not the way to fight. What's that? We'll see. You got to wait and see. Yeah. I don't know. It's a pretty good guess there. Pretty good guess. But Peter wasn't fighting right, was he? Peter in his own way, he was trying to help Jesus, but he just ended up taking some guy's ear off. I found myself thinking of the 1997 fight between Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson. Remember that? Where Tyson went in for a clinch and he bit Holyfield's ear, bit a piece of his ear off, and Holyfield just ticked. He's like, dude, he bit his earlobe off. Tyson has never lived that down. It's like, that's not the way to fight. You can't bite someone, no. Even when you're boxing, that's not the way to win. So Jesus tells Peter, put down your sword. You're not fighting right. Now, I bet Malchus wished that Jesus had said that about 30 seconds earlier, do you think? Put down your sword before you took my ear off. But man, as it turned out next, Jesus' command was perfectly timed. Because like we saw, Jesus took that opportunity to touch and heal this man in a way that made it clear to everyone that they weren't dealing with just a normal guy here. So Malchus had heard a question. He heard a command. And finally, he heard a reality. And that reality was, you don't really know me. You don't really know me. And you're right, Aiden, it's a D. Jesus says, you guys don't really. Really, guys? Spears and clubs to get me? You guys don't know me. You saw me teaching every day. You didn't have to come after me like this. You know, that's a fair question that Jesus asked. You know, because a lot of people didn't. There were a lot of opinions about who Jesus was. People thought he was a prophet or a magician or a troublemaker. You know, at one point, Jesus asked Peter, who do the people say that I am? And Peter had a whole bunch of different answers. He said, some think you're Elijah. Some think you're, you know, John the Baptist raised from the dead. Some think you're another prophet. Then Jesus narrowed it down to Peter and says, who do you say that I am? Now, Peter had the right answer, didn't he? He said, you're the Christ, the Son of God. But what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane showed that even though Peter had the right answer, that's not the same as living the right answer, is it? Because even though Peter knew that Jesus was the Christ, Son of God, he still hit the door when things got tense. Okay, so three things that Malchus heard. He heard a question. What are you here to get? Command. Put down your sword. Reality. You don't really know me. And when Jesus spoke, Malchus heard the voice of God. You see, they didn't realize that Jesus was God because he had disguised himself. Jesus had come in the form of a human being. None of them realized they were hearing the voice of God because he had taken on the form of, like Paul said to the Philippians, he'd taken on the very form of a servant. Lowest of occupations in that society. He'd taken on the form of a servant. And yet he was God in the flesh and was worthy of worship. Somebody asked me last week, why is God always wanting glory? Why is God always asking to be glorified? Does God have an ego? I thought, ego means you're arrogant. Ego means you think more of yourself than you ought to. You know why Jesus says, or God doesn't have an ego? Because God deserves glory. God made and sustains everything. You start contemplating how big the universe is, how far away even the nearest star is, and how there are billions upon billions of stars and billions upon billions of galaxies, and knowing that God made all that, God put it all in place, and yet he did the ultimate condescension, and he took on the form of you and me. He became a little boy. He became a man. He became a servant. And there he stood before them, willing to be humiliated, willing to be beat up, willing to be executed. He deserves all the glory. He deserves all the glory. And he has no ego because he showed us that by becoming nothing. And guess what? He's asking and saying the same things to each of us today. What are you here to get? Put down your sword. And you may not really know me. He's saying those things today. He's asking you, what are you here to get? Why are you here at church? You know, some of you are here every week. Some of you are in church gatherings a couple hundred times a year. But still the question is valid. What are you here to get? What are you here for? Some of you are here not as frequently. Some of you are here because a relative was coming and they invited you, or a friend was coming, they invited you. Same question, what are you here for? Feel a little better about yourself? You know, a little religion is always good for you. You know, you can kind of go out and feel like you put in your time for the week or for the year. What are you here for? You know what the motive God wants us to have to be here? He wants us to be here for truth. He wants us to be here to hear truth about ourselves, about Him, about His love for us, about His plan for us. That's why he said, if you worship God, the important thing, it's not where you do it, it's not what you wear, it's not the songs you sing. If you worship God, the important thing is to worship Him in spirit and what?
Truth.
He wants us to be here to hear truth. And that's hard because the truth about me is uncomfortable to hear. The truth about the state of my own heart, I don't want to listen to that because I know the state of my heart. I know that there's shameful things in there. There's motives and thoughts that I wouldn't want anybody to know about. That's why the truth is hard to hear. But guess what? When you're here to hear truth, when you're willing to receive truth from the Father who loves you, He also offers with it forgiveness. And He offers mercy. And He offers understanding in areas where there's confusion. He's able to bring chaos into the things where there's turmoil and unrest in our lives. Along with truth, He brings all those good things. Be here to get what He offers. That's why we're here, to get what He offers. And like Jesus, He's saying, put down your sword. Quit fighting the old fight. Quit battling in life, because life is a battle, isn't it? Every day is a battle. And the Lord is saying, quit fighting in the old ways. Put down your sword of anger or resentment or your sword of fear or your sword of passive aggressiveness or however you fight your battles. Too often times we're so much like Peter. We're just kind of flailing through life trying to protect ourselves. And Jesus is like, that's not the way to fight. Pick up the sword of the Spirit. I'll teach you how to fight this battle of life. I'll teach you to fight a good fight, Jesus says. Put down your sword. Maybe you've become a slasher. Maybe you've become an angry person. You cut people with your words or your attitudes or even your silence. You need to lay down your sword today. Or maybe you need to humbly acknowledge that you don't really know Him. I don't know what the latest statistics are for how many Americans say they're Christians, but they're pretty high. They're always high, aren't they, when you hear surveys like that? You know, 82% of Americans say they're Christians. 87%, 78%. It's always a majority say they're Christians. But I tell you, there have been a lot of periods of my life where I claimed the name of Christ, but my attitude didn't show forth Christ. Sometimes we need to humbly acknowledge that we don't really know Him, or at least we've forgotten who He is. Maybe we're living like we don't know Him. One of the guys in the garden that night, Jesus' apostle John, he went on to say later in his life, He says, if we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie. Don't live out the truth. Now, like we were told earlier, we're about to ready to close here in a few minutes. But before we do, in a moment, we are going to do something that Jesus commanded all of His followers to do. He says, when you come together, I want you to do something in remembrance of me, in remembrance of what I suffered. I want you to take a piece of bread. I want you to break it. I want you to eat it. And I want you to remember that because you were broken in yourself, because you were a broken piece of humanity, I let my body be broken so that you could be made whole. And then he wants us to take a cup, a little cup of the fruit of the vine, and taste it. He says, when you do that, I want you to remember that cup is my blood, that my blood was shed. Not for 30 pieces of silver, but as the price of full atonement for your sins. That your penalty was paid in my blood, my sinless blood. We're going to do that. We're going to pass around a little plate of bread and some little cups of the juice of the vine. The Scriptures warn us that this little action, it might not seem like a big deal, but this little action of taking the bread, taking the cup, that's not for everybody. The Scripture said this is something for those who have put their trust in Christ, to remember what He did. And we're also told in the Scriptures that we need, before, even if that's true of us, even if you've been born again, it says we need to examine ourselves. Because if you take the bread and the cup unworthily, it says it's like you're crucifying Jesus all over again. What does that mean, to take the cup unworthily? None of us are worthy, are we? But what God wants to see in our hearts, He wants there to be an attitude of surrender and repentance, where there is no sin that I'm hanging on to. There's no sin that I'm not willing to turn from. That's the state he wants our heart to be in. That's not the state of a perfect life. There's no perfect life in this room today. But you and I, by faith, we can say, you know, Lord, I'm not going to hang on to any iniquity, anything that I know is disobedience to you. I'm going to let go of it before I take the cup and the bread. Or if you are one who has not ever put your trust in Christ in a real way, you can do that today. What better day to put your trust in Christ than on the day that we're especially recognizing that he rose from the dead and conquered death to give us all eternal life. So as we pass around the bread and the cup, if you've not accepted Christ, I urge you, I invite you, we all who in Christ, we invite you to put your trust in Christ and receive the bread and the cup with us. If you are in Christ, if you have been born again, but you're walking in rebellion to him, if you're walking in resistance, if you're hanging on to sin, and you know what you need to let go of. God's been pressing it on your heart. You've been wrestling with him like Jacob and the angel. You've been wrestling with him. Today is the day to lay it down. Today's the day to let go of that thing that's holding you back from full devotion, that thing that's destroying your life, that's destroying your family's lives, that's causing pain for those around you because you're just hanging on to the sin that you think you need and you know you don't. You need Christ. You could do that right where you sit today. You can put your trust in Christ. Say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins and you rose from the dead, and I confess that. Say it with your mouth. If you want to just whisper it, say it with your lips. Confess it with your mouth. And Scripture says, you will be born again. If you are in that place of resistance, of unrepentance, don't resist the Holy Spirit longer. It says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. There's, folks, we're entering a dark season of our nation's history and our world. And you can't have any junk in your life getting in between you and Christ. You need to hold fast to the Savior and love him with all that you have to give him. You know, sometimes I come in this room when there's no one else here. And sometimes I turn up these nice lights that Dave installed years ago. I look at the cross. And sometimes I just kneel down on this floor. I look at the cross and I pray. And I let the Lord shine a light in my heart on the attitudes that are ugly. So that I can say, Lord, I want to let go of that. I want to be cleansed from that. And we don't have a real nice, comfortable altar here. We don't have the kneelers behind the chairs that some churches have. But maybe you need to humble yourself before the Lord today. Maybe you need to make a statement to those here that you're willing to turn from whatever it is you've been holding on to. Or you're willing to commit your life to Christ. I'm going to invite you to come down, just kneel on this floor and look at that cross and remember what Jesus did to you. No coercion, no manipulation, but I'm just saying sometimes you just need to humble yourself before the Lord and be cleansed. So we're just going to sing a couple more songs together and receive the cup and the bread. And again, receive the cup and the bread if you're ready for it, if you're willing to let go of all sin. But we're going to take just a few moments to give you the opportunity to do that, to let go of that besetting sin, or to put your trust in Christ. Melanie, can you find the words to, there's a song called By His Wounds. Let's pull up a song, and if we can't even find the words, it's so simple, we can just sing it together anyway. But we're going to just turn down these harsh fluorescent lights if we could. Could somebody turn those off? And again, I invite you to say what you need to say to the Lord today in the way that you need to say it. I invite you to humble yourself before him. Take a step of faith.